In 2 Kings 23 and verse 5, "Now before him there is no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him." This morning I want us to talk about the power of purity. Before we get into the lesson, I want to welcome everyone that's here. It's good to see everyone that's out. We need to be mindful of several that are not able to be with us this morning. We need to be praying for Jane, praying for Laura that she'll be able to be back with us soon, praying for Jennifer's aunt and her mother Cleo as she is driving to Michigan. We need to be praying for David and Ashley and Hannah Ruth as they are traveling this week, that they will have a safe trip and be back with us. And we just need to be praying for everybody. This has been a fast year. We've got a couple more services, and this year will be over if the Lord does not come back before then. So the power of purity. I'm doing this lesson to tie in with our Wednesday evening study on the kings and Josiah. This is a study about Josiah. And this evening I'm doing a lesson on, again, this series, A Christian According to Peter, and talking about holiness. So this will tie in with holiness also. So we look at things from several different angles, and we should be able to be benefited from it a little bit more. Purity. We all like purity in things. You see a pure white rose that is just so beautiful. No blemishes, no specks, no rot on it, no tears. The power of purity. When you want a drink of water, you want pure water. You don't want stuff mixed in with it that you don't know what it is. One of the things I like the least is picking up a glass of water or anything and starting to drink it and look in that glass and what is that floating in there? You know it's not pure. We want things that are pure. So when we look at Josiah, we need to remember that he was one of the kings of Judah. He was one of the kings toward the end. Remember the northern kingdom of Israel. They fell to Assyria in 722. Judah falls to Babylon in 586. Josiah, again, is in power 641 to 610 in that time frame. And then in 538 BC, Cyrus' edict allows the Jews to return to Jerusalem. Also, keep in mind, the kings that we are reading from, 1 and 2 Kings, were written when they were in exile. This wasn't contemporaneous, someone recording what was going on as it was unfolding, but it was written as an evaluation of the kings and as a reminder of why they ended up in captivity. So 2 Kings 23 and verse 1, "Now the king sent together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord." So the book of the law had been lost, and it has been found. And Josiah goes up to the house of the Lord, to the temple, and has it read to all the people. Just to get a location of where we are, you see that oval on the slide, the area of Josiah's palace. Right behind that is the temple. And south of Josiah's palace, we have the city of David. And then notice, as we'll talk about later in this lesson, the Kidron Valley and the Hinnom Valley. So in verse 3, "And the king stood by a pillar. He made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant." we see Josiah wanting to do what is right. And this was nothing new, to love the Lord, to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments with all of his heart, all of his soul, to perform the words. This goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, the greatest command that there is. Josiah wanted to do that. Notice in verse 4, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, the priests of the second order and the doorkeepers, to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. So the temple had not been being used as God wanted it to be used. It had become profane. They were not using it to worship Jehovah. They were using it to worship Baal, to worship other idols. So one of the first points we need to understand with the power of purity in verse 4, we need to get rid of physical objects. Stop and think about some of the physical objects that might be stumbling blocks to you and your family. When your stuff gets in the way of you serving God, it's time to get rid of some of that stuff. I know of someone, and I always remember him saying this, but he had this really nice motorcycle. I remember just like yesterday, it was a 69 Triumph Trophy, candy apple red, and he had it chrome plated. It was a really nice motorcycle. And at one point he said he was getting rid of it because he needed to spend more time with his kids. And that was very admirable. The sad thing is, when he got rid of that, he replaced it with other things and didn't spend time with his kids. But we might have some possession that we are in love with that is keeping us from serving God. And we think, well, I spent too much money on this. I can't get rid of this. I spent too much money on it. Well, friends, if it's something that is standing between us and God, what is it going to cost us when we lose our soul? If we want to be pure before God, we need to get rid of some physical objects. Just like Josiah, we need to remove those things that trigger or enable us to sin. It may be something that is inanimate, but whatever that thing is, just like a motorcycle, but that thing, we could spend all of our time, all of our money doing this. Oh, I've got to go there. I bought this bike. I've got to use it. How many times have you heard people say that about something other than a motorcycle? I've got this cabin. I've got this. I've got that. I've got to go use it. Well, we've got to weigh the time spent with that and the time spent with God. We need to be like Josiah and want to serve God with all of our heart and all of our soul. The primary focus on cleaning our house should be to restore purity to our heart. And as we just went through the series on our heart, the heart, aside from our soul, and you could say they are interwoven together, is the most important thing that we have. In verse 5, then he removed the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem, and those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellation, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem. He burned it at the brook Kidron, ground it to ashes, and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. So the next thing we need to see here is that we need to get rid of people that promote sin. Josiah had the things brought out of the temple, had them burned and destroyed. Then he brings out the priest whom the kings of Judah ordained to burn incense. He brought out these, we would today call them, people call them worship leaders. he brought them out. He brought out the wooden images from the house of the Lord. He burned all of that. We've got to get rid of the people that are associated with those things that cause us to sin. It might be somebody in our family. It might be somebody we work with. It might be somebody we run with. And somebody will say, well, I can't tell so-and-so. I can't run with them anymore. I can't tell so-and-so. I can't keep doing this with them every Tuesday night, every Thursday night. Friends, are they bringing you closer to God, or are they taking you farther away from God? It's important that we create boundaries with people. We can like everybody, we can get along with everybody, but we've got to have boundaries. We've got to draw a line and let people know that we aren't going to cross over that line. Now, it's interesting, getting rid of people that promote sin, and you say, well, how can I get rid of that person? How can I cut them out of my life? Well, if you listen to the news any, and you know what's coming up next month, and you hear two words over and over and over, those two words are, you're fired. There's going to be a lot of firings taking place next month where someone is going to get rid of a lot of people that do not have the same agenda as what he has. I'm not saying we got to exclude people completely out of our lives, but we've got to draw boundaries. We've got to draw boundaries. When they say, hey, can we get together Sunday morning and do this or go there? Let's go fishing Sunday morning. Sorry, I'd love to go fishing with you. I just can't do it Sunday morning. I'm going to worship God. We've got to draw those boundaries. Verse 7. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the wooden image. So the women were making these woven hangings for all the idols that were in there. Everybody was involved in all of this idol worship. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba. Also, he broke down the high places at the gates were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. He broke down all of these places. Here we have a slide of a woman making this beautiful woven hanging, but it was for some idol. And people get involved. You see how Satan works? You'll see churches and groups, and they'll have a ladies' club or this or that, and we'll get together, and we'll do this, and then everybody bonds and gets connected with everybody. But sometimes it's something they shouldn't be doing at all. We can find lots of good things to get together and do, but here they had everybody involved in this idol worship. All over. Here's Beersheba. He defiled the high places where the priests had burned sacrifices from Geba to Beersheba. This was always listed as the southern border city from Dan to Beersheba and Palestine from the north to the south. And again, from excavations, we know that they had lots of sacrifices that took place here with the different things involved in the sacrificing. Verse 9, nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Molech. So we need to get rid of places where we might sin. We need to get rid of those physical objects. We need to get rid of people that promote sin. We need to get rid of the places where we might sin. If you have a drinking problem, stay out of bars and restaurants that serve liquor. It's just, you're asking for trouble with that. David in Psalm 1:1 writes, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scorner, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And here we see the progression of sin. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You see this business, whether it sells liquor or it's a gambling institution or a pornography place or whatever it may be, and someone walks past it every day, they walk past it and they notice it, and they walk past it. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's he going to do at some point? He's going to stop and he's going to stand. He's going to stand and look in there, and he's going to be curious. Wonder why all those people look happy in there. I wonder what they've got that I want. So he goes from walking to standing, and then what happens? The next thing, he's there in the middle, sitting with them, engaged in whatever that activity is. David says, you don't want to be like that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We want to have God's word on us continually, this repetitive motion over and over. So Josiah knew that the places had to be torn down for the people to leave their sin. If he hadn't torn down those altars, what would they have done? They would have kept going back and visiting them. And it's interesting, this just came to mind. So in Dayton, there were three establishments long on Dixie. They're all out of business now, but it was high crime, illegal sexual things going on, liquor, who knows what else was going on in there. And little by little, the police was able to close them all down. And one of the things was they did not renew their liquor license. When they didn't renew their liquor license, that cut out a big part of the business. There's, I'm sure, with sexual trafficking going in there, going on with that also. But it's nice now to drive by. You see, one of them is completely torn down. I think two of them. I think the tornado took one of them out several years ago in that shopping center. And there's one left and it's vacant. You got to get rid of those things. If you don't get rid of them, they're going to pop back up. Somebody else is going to move in. Josiah knew the high places had to be torn down for the people to leave their sin. Sometimes it's not enough to just leave it there. You got to get rid of it. We also need to be aware when certain places or situations are dangerous for us. If a girl's night out, you go out with the girls every Monday night and it's gossip about this and that, you need to have those boundaries and say, I'm not going to talk about this. Or stop going. Or if you have a problem going to a sport event, and every time you go to sporting events, you see people yelling and screaming and they lose their anger. If you lose your anger going to those places, don't go there. We've got to have some control over ourselves. The point is, we don't want to put ourselves in a position that is a challenging for us, where we are going to weaken ourselves. We want the power of purity. And sometimes people might look at purity as being weak. When we are pure, when we are unadulterated, when we have Christ and we don't have the world mixed in with us, we are a strong individual. Satan cannot get us. Verse 10, he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Molech. Then he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the officer who was in the court, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. So here's an artist rendition of Molech, again, a famous god that the Canaanites made their son or daughter pass through the fire to Molech. This is child sacrifices. They burned their children in sacrifice to this god Molech. That you think about how terrible that was for the Canaanites to do that. But the Israelites have assimilated so much of their surroundings and religion and life that they are doing that also. Josiah got rid of them. Again, when he got rid of them and they were taken out to the Hinnom Valley, as you see on the lower left-hand corner of this slide, this is a photo from 1931, before a lot of expansion in that area. Here we see a more of a current day view of that and close up. But you see right down there in the center of that, in the center of that valley, where they had child sacrifices. And then this is outside Jerusalem. And then this eventually is what became the garbage dump for Jerusalem. And they had a fire burning there all the time. It was this continual fire that never went out. And this Hinnom Valley became known as Gehenna. Gehenna. And that is the word, the place that Christ uses to give people the understanding of hell. Gehenna, where the fire never goes out, where the worm never dies. Verse 11, we need to get rid of the passing benefits. The fact that Josiah destroyed the horses and chariots, that's noteworthy. They were valuable assets for any nation. Josiah could have repurposed them, he could have sold them, he could have done something else with them, but why didn't he do that? Because he put his faith in God and not in horses. And that goes back to what they were told under Moses. Deuteronomy 17, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. So you see, in part of the law, they were told not to have horses. The Israelites are not to have horses because God knew when they started breeding horses, they would put their faith in the horse, just like we would put our faith in a tank. How many tanks do we have? How many missiles do we have? He told them, I don't want you to multiply horses. I don't want you to multiply wives. One man, one woman. But we see they departed from that. Don't greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. People get greedy and want more and more. And then it never stops. We've got to remember that no matter what benefit or pleasure Satan promises from sin, sin always leads to death. That bottle that he wants you to take, that relationship he wants you to have with somebody else, the gambling, whatever it may be, that's pleasurable. If it wasn't pleasurable, people wouldn't keep doing it over and over and over. But it's pleasurable for a passing time, and then it's over. And then what's it going to be? Sin always, always, always leads to death. We need to get rid of the things that draw us away from God. We want to have a pure heart. Then there'll be always some things to sacrifice when we clean our spiritual house and prepare for greater zeal. We want to serve God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. But there's nothing that we can let go of in this life that compares to what we will gain with Christ. Back to Mark 10. Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there's no one who's left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life." Whatever we have to sacrifice here is going to be worth it. Well, I can't leave my family. I can't leave this job. I can't leave this house I bought and move somewhere else. I wouldn't get what I paid for it. Well, if you want to get what you paid for it and lose your soul, that's your choice. God's going to let us do what we want to do. But if we leave something that is keeping us from serving God, God is going to bless us richly beyond what we can imagine. Verse 12, "The altars that were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, the king broke down and pulverized there and threw their dust into the brook Kidron." These altars that were made, they would have been fancy. They weren't just something they took some 2x4s and put together. They would have been fancy. They would have been ornate. And he takes them and has them torn down and then pulverized. Pulverized and threw their dust into the brook. And then that brook is just going to carry all of those broken altars right on downstream. So we need, when we read this, we need to see, we've got to get rid of the pieces forever. When we tear something down, when we get rid of something, don't leave the little pieces. Get rid of it completely. Verse 12 shows that Josiah was never going back. The altars were smashed into dust, tossed into the brook to sail away. As Romans 12:9 talks about, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. That's what we need to do. And any impurity that stifles our zeal, our life, no matter how small, we need to cast it away so that we can be prepared to follow the Lord. Moving down to verse 21, "Then the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. Such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem." So when you get rid of all of those bad things, when you get rid of the bad people, when you get rid of the bad pieces, what do? You got to replace it with something. You got to replace it with the proper practices. It's the law of the vacuum. You suck everything out of something, what's going to happen? Something's going to go back in. Preparing for purity and zeal is not the end of having fun. In fact, it's just the beginning of it. It's the beginning of some of the most enjoyable, meaningful life that we can have. And when Josiah removed the negative influences from Jerusalem, he got rid of all that negative garbage. He quickly filled the void with godliness. He observed the Passover. There are a lot of things that we can engage in now that will help us build ourselves up. When you're seeking to incorporate proper things, pay special attention to the people you surround yourself with. By observing the Passover, Josiah was able to bring many zealous servants of God who had previously been isolated from one another. Think about this. Sometimes we think, am I the only person that's trying to serve God? Am I the only one? There are people everywhere, but sometimes we just don't come in contact with them. the encouragement of worshiping God side by side with those who have a common zeal for the Lord is extremely valuable. So the power of purity, what do we need to do? We need to get rid of physical objects. We need to get rid of people that promote sin. We need to get rid of the passing benefits, get rid of the pieces forever, and then replace them with proper practices. Preparing our environment removes many obstructions to our purity and zeal so that our spiritual fire is not extinguished. We want to be on fire for the Lord. And you see, Christians sometimes that look so dull and lackluster, like they just lost everything, like one of those country music songs I won't try to repeat the words of, they're just so down and out. And friends, we should be the happiest people there are on this earth. But one of the reasons you see Christians like that is because they haven't let go of the things of the world. They're still in love with the things of the world. The more we can purify ourselves now, the more intense our fire can grow in the future. You say, well, I can't go back and change all of the stuff that I've done. None of us can. But we can start today and purpose in our heart and determine to serve God the best we can. Acts 22:16, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. God has a plan for us. He sent his son to die for us. He gave us a revelation so that we can know how to live our life, how to live our life to be pleasing here, and how to live our life for time without him, without end in heaven with him. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.